They come from the depths of central Queensland, Australia.
It's a crocodile!
No.
It's Triple M's Banksy and Pinky.
There is some education going on as far as the wonderful world of pets is concerned within my family. Not my direct family. My niece, Layla, has got herself a new pet. A guinea pig.
Oh, guinea pigs are very popular.
Are they?
They're very cute. Do you know...
Never had a guinea pig.
Pull their hair backwards, like a little tickle.
Yeah.
They do a little sound. They go... Brrr. That's what they do. You try it.
It's
a guinea pig thing.
Learning more about guinea pigs each day.
You can tell I had one, can't you?
Yeah. And they've called it Pepper.
Okay.
Pepper pig.
Yeah, I got it.
Pepper guinea pig, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. There was a higher purpose to this guinea pig being purchased for my little two-year-old niece, Layla. Mm. It was for education on how to be gentle with pets and
with a two-year-old.
How to be responsible.
Oh, that's funny.
The idea was, okay, let's get this guinea pig, call it Pepper, and try to teach this two-year-old some responsibility and to be a bit more gentle, because the problem they've been having is she's really not gentle, kind of violent at times.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was the right decision to go, let's get a guinea pig to try and teach
she's
that.
She's like, check out this new stuffed toy, and she throws it.
Yeah, yeah. So it could be a little bit odd and dangerous. But we'll see how it goes. It was only bought last week, so as far as
time.
I know, Pepper is still with us. I know. I'm just afraid this little girl is going to get charged with assaulting Pepper.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
We're going through some changes ourselves here, Pinky, as a way to show tribute to the great David Bowie.
Well, I don't know about we, but definitely you are about to go through some changes. And I think you've got the bone structure and the physique of the young David Bowie.
Of a young David Bowie.
Or just Bowie.
Thank you.
He really didn't change much, did he? But
no.
We're going to transform you into his character, Ziggy Stardust.
Look, I've already been prepped up by the girls here, and apparently I look like a troll.
Already.
So
that's a really good movie.
Bit of a troll
Trolls
thing going
really
on here.
Trolls are really cute, you know, and they're really positive and friendly.
These girls have this maniacal look in their eye. I think they're really keen to turn me into Ziggy Stardust.
Yeah, look, we've got Jodie Beckett here from JB Makeup and Rebecca from Vicious Beauty and Promotions, and they're doing the transformation.
Morning, girls.
Hi.
Yeah.
This is so cool. Apparently as well, with Ziggy Stardust, they have to kind of remove your eyebrows. So I'm looking forward to seeing Did you know that?
I didn't know they had to remove any sort of eyebrows.
I'm not sure. Maybe waxing. Don't know. We'll find out.
You can see the progression of this on our Facebook page right now. We are Facebook Live for the remainder of this transformation. All right, girls, do your worst.
And look, in the meantime, feel free to give us a call on 13 27 10 about any time that you've dressed up as someone.
Who have you liked dressing up as?
Well, yeah, I mean, people have dress-up parties. Yeah. They don't always become Ziggy Stardust for their job. Oh, wow.
Is that like a glue stick on
your eyebrow? That is!
What?
A glue stick.
They've glued my eyes.
Wow, kids, here's some school holiday fun.
I am excited. I just can't move my face.
The Ziggy and Pinky Breakfast Show on Triple M.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Looks like we've got a call coming through on 13 27 10.
All right, let's get to it.
Triple M, good morning. Who's this?
Paul, how you going, Pinky? Happy New Year.
Good, Paul. Happy New Year to you too. What's happening?
Oh, nothing much. I'm enjoying the coffee this morning anyway, but last year I won one off Tomo, Ben Electrical, the coffee machine.
Oh, yeah, with the Christmas wishes.
Yeah. My wife made me first coffee, so I sat out the front there and she brought it out, sat it there, and next minute this big mud hornet with a big grub on him. Kamikaze stayed in the coffee.
A mud hornet?
Yeah.
What?
So, I was yelling out to the wife. I said, make me another coffee. She said, what's the matter with the other one? I said, the big mud hornet just landed in it, burned the bottom, dropped the grub, and then flew off.
Well, that's hilarious.
So I'm watching this coffee, trust me.
Yeah. Protective of the coffees now, Paul.
A grub in the bottom of a coffee is not like a tequila with a worm, all right?
No, exactly. So, anyway, I'm sitting here with a tin of fly spray now.
So how was your coffee? A little waspy.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
news on Susan Lee, the embattled health minister.
Oh, the poor thing.
Yeah, poor girl. She's been stood aside as health minister after, obviously, the $795,000 apartment on the Gold Coast that she may have purchased.
She claimed as a work trip. Yeah.
Taxpayers' money there, you're claiming on. Well, Malcolm Turnbull, the Prime Minister, said, okay, we've got to get an investigation into her travel claims.
Yep.
Now we know. It's underway, and we've got some more information
about
what she's been doing. She's spent more than $1,000 on flights to and from Coolangatta between September 5 and September 8. They're having a close look into that. But more so, how much do you reckon a flight from Canberra to Adelaide would cost? Commercial flight.
Oh, a few hundred dollars.
$190 is what they're saying, about the average. Well, instead of just paying $190 and getting on a flight like most other people, she spent $7,000 of our money to pilot a private plane.
Oh, really?
Because she's a commercial pilot. She's got a license.
That's great. So she should have been able to, like, save money. Like, the Royal Flying Doctors would have really loved that $7,000 donation.
I mean, buy your own plane and pilot that one instead of getting the taxpayer to pay $7,000 for that private plane hire.
Not looking good, Suze.
Yeah. Now, I also want to bring to your attention the way she spells her name. It's Susan with two S's, and it hasn't always been that way.
Okay.
S-U-S-S-A-N-L-E-Y, Susan Lee.
Right.
She put the extra S in because I want to read a quote from Susan Lee here as well. This has come up on Twitter recently. This is from Susan Lee. I read about this numerology theory that if you add the numbers that match the letters in your name, you can change your personality. I worked out if I add in an S, would have an incredibly exciting, interesting life. And once I added the S, it was really hard to take it away.
Wow, so fudging your work expenses. Is that part of changing the personality?
She started by fudging her name spelling first.
Yeah, excellent.
And adding the extra S. I'm just curious to know what the extra S might stand for. Like snake or sus or, you know, once I added the S, it was really hard to take away. Why so hard?
Wow. Oh,
I guess it's like you paid $7,000 for a private plane. It was really hard to cover up in that vein. I guess.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Federal Senator David Lionhelm left everyone a little gobsmacked after being asked about if he'd support that new $3 billion childcare reform package. And he basically summarised the role of childcare workers as merely wiping noses and stopping the kids from killing each other. And that everyone's panned out from back in the day because you need a Certificate 3 now to be a childcare worker. So, well, that's it.
He's blaming the rising cost of childcare on the Certificate 3, which he claims you don't need because it's all so basic and all they do is, wipe noses. But look, wondering this morning, I'm sure you think David What's-His-Face's comments were ridiculous on 13/27/10. I'll just assume that. But do you think the government should be doing more anyway to help subsidise the rising cost of childcare?
Alan, how are you this morning?
Yeah, doing great, thanks, guys. How you going?
Yeah, not too bad. What are your thoughts on this whole situation with the childcare rebate and Senator David Lienheim's thoughts?
Oh, it just sounds like a typical uneducated government muppet to me.
Yeah, that's the word.
With myself personally, I actually work for a apprenticeship centre, and we actually assist people in getting into the traineeships for childcare. So,
Okay, like getting that Certificate 3?
Yeah, definitely. And look, there's a lot of funding around at the moment, and the government has been funding it for quite some time. It's a big skill shortage, just as much of it as our trade. So,
yeah, well, I think the childcare is in higher demand than it used to be. With demand comes that skill set.
Mate, I always say we ask people to get a qualification to cut our hair. If someone was looking after my kid, I'd like to think they'd at least have some form of training, you know?
Yeah, so what's your point of view on the Certificate 3? Is it just about learning how to wipe noses and stop kids killing each other?
Well, I was just going to say that. I'm just looking at the module list right now, and unfortunately, wiping noses they might put it under conflict resolution, but I think that killing each other is, definitely not on the module list there, guys. So.
Yeah, there's a little bit more involved in being a childcare worker than just that.
Just like being a teacher. You go to university.
Yeah.
Don't just roll up and just go, hey, kids, let's just read a book.
Like, you know, look, and if I think in other industries, if I had a heart attack, I would, can I just get some guy who knows a little bit about medicine, rather than someone who's actually qualified. You know, it just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, no, it's all about obviously just making sure those people are qualified for those jobs. And, you know, at the end of the day, they're, you know, kids, their most important thing. Obviously, they're
that's
a future
right.
as well, so we've got to look after them. But there's like I said, guys, there's a lot of funding around, so it's a little bit contradictory of the government to sort of, for the last few years, be piling funding into the training and then to be having, you know, by the sounds of it, someone who's just a little bit uneducated on the whole.
A bit uneducated. Hey, Alan, what do you think? Do you think the government needs to help with the rising cost of childcare?
Oh, definitely. Look, just from my experience, they actually cover the entire cost of the course. It's over $5,000 to do the course.
Yeah.
And we actually give people government incentives to actually train them while they're doing it. So there's a lot of benefits. And hey, if people don't want to do it as a traineeship, there's also a program called Cert 3 Guarantee where the government pays for it as well. So
Well, there you go. They're paying to train people up.
Plenty of options. It's nothing to sneeze at. Then if you did, you'd have to wipe it, I suppose, yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Are you expecting a pay rise this year?
Yeah. Of course I am.
Well, look, if you're in the IT industry, there's a good chance you could be eyeing off a $50,000 pay rise this year.
Does logging onto my computer and jumping onto news.com and Facebook count as working in the IT industry?
Look, stalking people for Barnsley tickets does not count as IT. Online. No, it's IT workers and system engineers forecast to increase 45% on their...
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, on their already quite...
That's incredible.
Huge salaries. 160 could, you know, up from 110. So about an extra $50,000 in this industry.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite full on.
Yeah.
Now, IT remains where it's at. IT professionals with niche and emerging skill sets such as big data, DevOps, cybersecurity, and cloud collaboration were in high demand through last year, and they are commanding higher rates of pay through 2017. I didn't even know what any of that is.
See, a little off topic, but if you have kids that are obsessed with devices and computers, the best thing you could do is give them a coding program and go, hey, study up on this, buddy.
Adam Spencer was telling us that, wasn't he?
Yeah, you can sit on there all day because that's going to be your future job.
So when I'm looking at my boy Oliver, who is always online and learning all this sort of stuff.
But he's not. You've got to teach him how to build that. So give him a program or a thing on there
the
to study.
Thing.
Yeah, give him a course. Enroll him in a TAFE course,
Okay. All right. So IT, no radio announcers in there.
No.
Can't see that.
Yeah.
Look, I guess if we're not in the area of IT and all that...
I think most of us aren't.
Yeah. Really. We've got to look at other ways to try to get that pay rise. And,
okay.
And look, I've always sort of been told it's about how you present yourself at work. What was the saying? It was, dress for the job you want, not for the job you have, you see. And that's how I ended up in a disciplinary meeting in a Batman suit. So, no pay rise this year.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Bruce the Gladstone cabbie. Now, here's an unexpected call.
Well, people say, all you guys are doing sitting on your butt in the studio, but you're doing a lot more than that. You're entertaining us while we're at work.
Dunno, mate. Don't know. That's questionable.
We use the term entertaining particularly loosely.
Oh, yeah. Look, you're sitting on your butt too, but in a cab, right?
I'm sitting on my butt in my air-conditioned office.
Oh, okay, nice.
Which is the cab, yes.
Are you actually driving at the moment?
No, I'm sitting at the taxi rank.
Just waiting for a customer.
For someone to rock up and go, I want the best cabbie in Gladstone to take me on a tour.
Well, then I have to tell them. You have to go find one.
You know, Banks, you've been teasing me about stalking all morning, but he's like a professional stalker. He, like, sits there waiting for people to turn up.
offering strange people lifts
for money.
Yeah.
Hey. Good morning, Paul. What are you up to?
I like to get to sit on my butt too. I drive a logging truck.
Right.
Right. And whereabouts are you at the moment, Paulie?
I'm away into Gladstone from the forest near there. I love my job. We get to tear down forests.
Right.
I go to work, we can see the carnage that we've done.
Oh,
that's amazing. Do you replant the forest anywhere else? Or?
Yeah, when you go in there, you can just see where we've been. Just bald patches on the sides of the mountain.
Yep.
Yeah, right. So the earth's starting to get a little bit old, losing a little bit of its hair, getting some bald spots.
Well, it definitely is, but it's not as bad as it sounds. It's all plantation trees that were put there 25 years ago.
The word plantation.
Yeah, good.
So
sounds better when I say forest, but
you're just trying to get a rise out of me.
So you're driving a logging truck, is that right?
Yeah.
I always have that moment of
when you're behind one.
The movie Final Destination. When that logging truck starts happening and all the logs start falling off, and I'll steer clear of people like you, Paul.
It's only when the first one goes. It's a domino effect.
Hey, Paul, how does this whole logging truck thing works anyway? Like, you roll up. Who loads the truck up? How does it work?
We have machines out in the forest. Yep. We have harvesters that cut the trees and cut it to length, and then we have a forwarder that brings it to the roads for where we can get to.
Yep.
And then he loads us up, and then we head off to Gladstone Port.
Yep.
And then they get on a ship, and they're sent to China, and then we buy it back as flat pack furniture and chopsticks and matches.
Wow! There you go. And then we buy it back.
Yes. Yeah, we get it all back again.
At the junk shop.
It's a bit neater than it does on the back of the truck.
And Paul, what would you rate this experience out of 5?
Oh, mate, absolutely riveting. Listen to you guys every morning. I wouldn't be able to do my job without you.
Would you give it a 4 or 5 out of 5?
Oh, I'd probably give it a 5.
There we go.
My new girlfriend, she thinks I'm a stalker.
You can just tell her she's right back.
She's not my girlfriend, yeah?
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
A mother has gone online to basically say how she embarrassed her...
She nailed it.
13-year-old, yeah, who was all, I'm not going to clean the floor, I'm going to go out, I'm not going to be picked up at the designated time, I'm going to make you wait, all this sort of stuff. Mum's just gone, I'm getting on my teddy bear pyjamas and zebra dressing gown, walk around town till I find you and drag you home. Excellent work, Mum. And on 13, 27, 10, we've been finding out how you embarrass your kids. Bernie, do you embarrass the kids, mates?
Oh, multiple times. I'm trying to think of which time I could mention.
Which example?
The radio. Absolutely hates it. She goes, Dad, you think you're funny? You're just so dry. She's my 13 going on 21-year-old. So last time what I did, if it's something about her, I'll get her phone and I'll text her friend and say, I've got to listen to the radio. My dad's on it.
Oh, there we go. That'll do it.
And she goes, you're an idiot. You make me shame.
Yeah.
Looks like you're up for another text just now, huh?
You betcha.
Lynn, how do you embarrass your kids?
I was brought up myself to be a parent that my mother always said, never embarrass your children by what you're wearing. I totally agree with that woman on that you just read up. But when my son, who's now 38, was playing up as a teenager, he did a similar sort of thing. He was 18, but I had to get out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning to go and pick him up.
Oh, yep.
It wasn't prearranged. And so I did go in my pyjamas. When I got there, the police actually had him on the footpath and didn't want him to go into the walk him.
So you had to get out of your car in your PJs?
In my little Nike with no dressing gown.
Excellent.
Please tell me you had fluffy pink slippers on as well.
No, I had my purple ones on.
Good enough for us.
He didn't do that again.
No.
They learn their lesson really quick with an embarrassing moment with the parents, don't they?
And I have never told my mum that I dressed to embarrass her. It's one of those things she's stuck by.
Yeah, and it'll stick with him for a long time. Thanks for the call. Good morning, Triple M. Who's this?
My name's Baz.
Yeah, how do you embarrass your kids, Baz?
Mate, when you've got a 16-year-old daughter who doesn't want to do what she's told...
Mm-hmm.
The best thing you can ever do is rock up at school with a little brown paper bag with their lunch in it.
Yes.
And go to their classroom.
Knock on the door. I've just brought her lunch in.
Yep. Guess what?
What?
They don't want to go out their mates after that for a little while.
Classic.
Yeah. Any special outfit while you're delivering the lunch?
No. I've got a number of... tattoos.
Yes, okay.
Right,
just being you.
you just have the tattoos showing out a little bit. And I have a bald head, so you wear your bandana.
Oh, love it. That's awesome.
Yeah, a guy with tattoos and a bandana bringing a small paper bag into somewhere. That's, yeah.
I had lunch.
It was for lunch.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
This is Friday the 13th. Matt, are you superstitious about something?
Oh, I've got work boots. I've got work socks with a little tag on the back, and it says Explorer.
Yeah.
I always put the tag to my right foot.
Did you ever not do that one day?
Yes, and I freaked out.
Is that just because you're a fashionista?
No, I just believe it's good luck.
Yeah. Now, Do you believe it's a luck thing, or do you believe it's like a psychological thing?
I think it's a psychological thing. Mm. It's one day I had two tags. One on each foot, and I freaked out again. I'm like, how could this happen? My daughter was born today, 11 years ago, on this day, Friday the 13th.
Oh, wow.
She's had nothing but good luck, so.
And she's been good luck for you?
Yeah, she's been good. She's been good.
So there you go. We get a little bit of probably psychological luck going bad, and then, of course, the good luck as well. Thanks for the call.
No worries.
Now, Doug, Friday the 13th, a lucky day for you, mate.
It always has been, mate. It's I've always had a good day. Something good has always turned out at the end of the day or the beginning of the day on the Friday the 13th.
Can you remember any examples to share with us? Something good as in, like, did you discover the Oreo Cadbury cream egg?
Well, I went to a bingo one time on Friday the 13th and won the jackpot.
Yeah. Oh, nice. And how much was that?
That was back down in Melbourne, and that was $4,000.
Wow. I need to take up bingo.
Yeah, I know. Just good things have happened. Like, I've run into people I haven't seen for a long time, and it's been really great. And, you know, it's just been a, lucky day. Yeah.
There's a different spin.
When I heard you talking earlier about Friday the 13th, I thought, oh, it is too. And I thought, oh, because I was going to go downtown. I'm in Yeppoon, or just out of Yeppoon.
Yeah.
I was going to go downtown tomorrow and put my lotto on. No, Friday the 13th, I'll put it on today.
There you go. You're going to get out and about for something good to happen.
He's going to buy every raffle ticket today.
Can you buy us one too, mate?
And listen, while I'm here, Banksy, has anyone ever told you that you are very similar looking to Keith Urban?
Hey. Oh, his head just exploded.
Looks like Friday the 13th is a lucky day for me too. Yeah.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Now, for Rockhampton Clock, it's been featured in the Morning Bulletin on the front page and the full story on page 3. And this is an issue that you and I have discussed many times before, Pinky.
Yeah, because we can see the clock from outside the Triple M building.
Yes.
And we can hear it if we're outside for a moment.
That's right. And it has been horribly off for a long time.
You're like, what? It just gonged once and it's 6 in the morning.
It was 20 past 6 and I said it was 1 a.m. Like, I don't know how it
works. Gotta love its form.
So local man Ken Kiwi Collins, who moved to Rocky in 2000, first noticed the unusual chiming when he was sitting at the local bar, the Oxy, just across the road from it. And he said it was out of whack as long as he could remember.
Yeah.
And it didn't even, like, when the floods came through, obviously there was a bit of a problem there, and it just got further and further out of time since that. Now, you said before, this would be a great opportunity to bring in like a Back to the Future situation here.
It just reminds me of the movie.
If it needs more electricity, a bolt of lightning has 1.21 gigawatts of electricity. And I learnt that from Back to the Future. All right?
Oh, dear.
So maybe we could use the clock tower to travel back in time to stop the clock from going out of time.
Well, it's connected to the mains power, apparently. There's a power outage, it gets out and it never gets put back.
Yeah.
To the right time.
Well, it takes a lot of manual adjustment for that.
Too hard.
But Ken the Kiwi is saying, you know what? I think it's a good talking point. Don't change it or I'll think Armageddon has come across and the Four Horsemen and all that sort of thing.
Don't make it an accurate time teller.
No.
Jeez.
Because then it'll be like every other clock everywhere else.
That's true.
So what do you think? Do you think we should change it and get it to the right time?
Like they've talked about in the paper, because now I know I wasn't just standing there going, where are we? I'm glad it's a thing.
Yeah, obviously the council need to have a bit of a look at this, but it's just sad. I don't know if they'll have the time.
Oh.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Now, yesterday, an off-air video from Channel 9, from the Channel 9 newsroom, was released And it's just gone viral around Australia, around the world.
Yeah.
When Nine newsreader Amber Sherlock started giving her co-worker a bit of a mouthful about wearing a jacket. Because,
yeah.
The three ladies that were having to be on a panel were all wearing white tops.
Yeah.
She felt that that was a little much.
Yeah. So just before they went to air, this happened.
I need Julie to put a jacket on because we're all in white. I asked her before we came on. Julie, you need to put a jacket on.
Flat out, I haven't had time. Does someone...
I told you 2 hours ago. We know
Amber,
in chat room.
This is not... So I'm sorry, I've been flat out,
Well,
honestly.
I'll call wardrobe and we'll get something.
If you give me a second, if we can ask, I'm not sure who your lineup is today. If there's just a jacket floating around out there, ask Danica.
Unless you want to run down and see if there's a jacket.
No, you're right. No, you're right, because you told me it's fine, Sandy, but there can't be three of us.
No.
And I've made this clear 2.5 hours ago.
Amber, if it's an issue, I can get on out of here.
It is an issue. Go and grab a jacket.
Jenny, someone able to grab me a jacket, please? If it's an issue,
I wasn't saying it for no reason. The wardrobe girls would be furious downstairs.
I'm wearing blue for one, Amber. I don't know, but it doesn't look like it.
Well, it sounds like an episode of The View.
No, The View's actually good. it's quite the drama.
Isn't it? So
Amber has been really copying it online. Mostly people are mocking her, but... You know, they're getting their claws in a little at her as well.
I don't see the problem. Why does it matter that the three girls were wearing white? I get that you're like aesthetically pleasing to view.
Well, I think the problem that she's saying is that she said earlier, this is a problem. Can you put a jacket on?
And that didn't happen. And then nothing happened from that.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, then the diva thing has taken over a bit.
I've got to say, I like Amber. Don't go to town
on
Amber.
Look, it's a little moment, a couple of minutes of a moment where she is, you know, getting a bit stroppy about a situation.
It's been
but that
a
doesn't
long
mean
day.
She's like that 24 hours a day.
Frustrated. She's been dealing with these wardrobe people all day.
Yes, and the producers.
Yeah.
You know?
Trying to get her stories right.
And she's doing live news. Like,
yeah,
there's
that's
no
right.
room for error there. It's a very important job. But what I actually felt for her was that actually she sounds a little like me at times speaking to my kid.
What?
I asked you 2 hours ago to put your shoes on. I asked you 2 hours ago to put the Lego away because I just stood on it. Put your jacket on, please. Put your jacket on. Yep. Put your shoes on. No thongs, but the jacket. I'm not saying this for fun. I asked you 5,000 times to make your bed. Yes, it is an issue.
Motherhood and live TV.
Oh.
Things never go all white.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Don't understand time zones too well. I don't understand why we need to have daylight savings.
Oh, but daylight savings is about taking advantage of the light. Various mayors across Queensland are saying they want a trial for daylight savings again, 25 years after we voted against continuing with it. So this morning I'm putting my hands up for it. I'm asking this morning, what do you think on 13 27 10?
It's the Triple M survey line. Yes or no to daylight savings?
100% no.
And why?
Well, the reason it's 50-50, isn't it, is because the Gold Coast and Brisbane want it, so they're in line with the southern states. Well, if they want to line up with the southern states, why don't they move the border and they can go and be New South Wales and get their butt kicked at state of origin?
There we go.
We don't want it.
You bring up a good point. Good morning, Triple M survey line. Yes or no for daylight savings?
No.
No?
Why not?
I was 13 or about then when we tried it last time and I didn't like going to bed when the sun was still up.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably...
It gets dark too late in far north Queensland, like up around... Cooktown and all that for them to have it up there because it's like 10 o'clock at night and there's still a sun glow in the sky.
Yeah, you can see the problem
it's
there.
It's a bit of an issue for parents. Thank you. Triple M survey line, daylight savings, yes or no?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
No, if you want an extra hour of daylight, get out of bed an hour earlier.
Oh, that's a good one.
Triple M survey line, yes or no, daylight savings?
No, 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 no.
Why not?
Because, seriously, when people start work early, they come home at a normal time and then go to bed early-ish and... Yeah, who wants to go to bed when the sun's up?
So that
well, it doesn't suit everybody, but yeah.
That's the issue is going to bed when it's still sunshine.
Yep, exactly right.
Do you or do you not want daylight savings?
No, not at all.
Why not?
Why for you?
1989 when they trialled it here.
Right.
And I was pregnant with my daughter. And it was I can understand where you're coming from, Pinky, but it's the extra heat up here. So when the sun goes down earlier, you've got that time before bed to relax. That's what more people are thinking about rather than having the sun up. It's the heat.
So you noticed that back when we did the trial?
Absolutely.
Yeah, see, I was a kid. I thought it was awesome. But
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, and that's right. I was a pregnant woman.
Exactly. You would have hated it.
It's also the farmers. I lived out west at a bluff, and it's the farmers. And, you know, yes, they can start a bit early and whatever, but the cattle work by the sun.
The cows don't know what time it is.
Exactly. So you want to come home and have a feed with your family, you've got to stay out there at about 9 o'clock, because out west, that's when it got dark.
Triple M survey line, yes or no to daylight savings?
No to daylight savings, because if you want to start an hour early.
Triple M survey line, yes or no to daylight savings?
No.
Why?
I grew up with it, and I... Don't get me wrong, it was nice down there, but even when the states weren't in line, it was a pain in the ass. But up here, we don't need it. The sun's up plenty time, and it's down when it needs to go down. Geez, the poor farmers have enough trouble bloody milking their cows without having to get up an hour earlier in the dark to do it.
Triple M survey line, yes or no to daylight savings?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Why not?
It's not just the light, it's the heat.
Yeah, that's what
we're... Yeah, someone mentioned that.
You can't send the kids out to play when you normally would, and when you're cool enough, they've got to be in having their dinner, because school starts at the same time as usual, and you've got to get them to bed earlier.
That was always my issue, was getting them to bed while there's sun shining.
But it's not just the sunshine, it's the heat of it as well.
Yeah, no, I think heat's a good point, actually. That doesn't really come up in the conversations that I've come across anyway.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
Thanks for your thoughts. Triple M survey line, you yes or no to daylight savings?
No.
Another no.
No. I grew up in the Blue Mountains. We had daylight saving down there. It was good down there. Yep. We don't need it in Queensland.
Yeah, and why is that?
Sunlight. We get enough sunlight. We don't need any more.
Well, I don't think, is there any extra sunlight? It's just the hours that we're
hours
awake.
In the day. There's enough hours in the day of sunlight for us up here. We don't need to have it extended.
You're saying we don't need to overdose on vitamin D. That's what you're saying.
Exactly.
Okay,
right.
Then.
We're Queensland, the sunshine state, not those left in the dark. All right?
Exactly.
There
right.
we go.
That was the Banksy and Pinky podcast.
Check them out at triplem.com.au.
Or don't. No pressure.